There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, something from the cellar. Another mini episode of our midweek drop that sees us revisit some of the brilliant guests we've had on the show over the last 4.5 years. It's a simple enough menu. I'll bring you 3 of my favourite vintages from the cellar. We'll sit back together, relax, and enjoy them. Sound good? Great. Well, this week, it's all about music. It's such an important part of so many of our guests' lives. For many, it encapsulates and reminds them of the best and worst of times in their lives. For others, as is the case with these guests today, making music is their calling. And first up, it's Ray. She's one of the most successful singer-songwriters out there, having quit her record label to do it herself and with huge success. But it hasn't always been easy, and she's faced many an obstacle as an up-and-coming songwriter, but she was never going to let that knock her off her path to success. And now she's right where she deserves to be. I mean, imagine standing in line hearing from Beyoncé herself that one of her songs was going to be used on the Lion King soundtrack, to the days that she spent writing music with David Guetta in his James Bond-esque villa in Ibiza. Not bad, eh?
I found on YouTube this brilliant clip where, to give the listeners some context, you had submitted a track to the Beyoncé team and you've been told that, yeah, it's being used on the Lion King soundtrack. And then she leans over at the premiere on the red carpet while you're posing for the paparazzi and says something to you and you start jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And what did she tell you?
It was in that moment that I found out that the song was going to be part of the project. She leaned over and she was like, Ray, like, I just wanted you to know. She was like, Ray, and I'm like, who's calling my name? she's like, I want the song to be track one on the song is track one on the album. The song is called Bigger, and we've shot a video for it, and I'm so excited. And I was looking at her like, "What? Are you joking me?" That was a pinch me moment. It was ridiculous.
That is a pinch me moment, isn't it? I mean, what did she mean to you as an artist? Because I can imagine that, you know, when you're studying heads down at the Brit School, Queen Bey is like, she is literally queen.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has the same stories, but I remember, you know, growing up and lying in bed with my best friend watching YouTube, and we're just watching on repeat Beyoncé live, singing runs, performing, like to the point that we're there crying tears. Like, it's just so good. You know, she's a queen, and she's one of the most hardworking, most ridiculous performers. She's inhuman. What she's capable of, it's just nuts. So to be able to contribute to her artistry is just mind-blowing. Yeah.
Did you cry?
I did cry.
Good.
I did. I cried. Yeah, I cried.
What did you say to her?
I don't know. What did I say? I was like, are you joking? I was like, really? I was like, ah! I screamed and I clapped and I said cheese with the picture. It was, yeah. And for all of us writers who was there, there was another good friend of mine called Guilty Beats. And it was absolutely crazy because maybe a year and a half before, we were in Ghana together, which is where we're both from, in West Africa. Mm-hmm. And we were making beats together and we were having a little low. We were having, like, you know, reflecting on the year. And, you know, the music industry is a tough place. We all know this. You know, the creative industry, very competitive and very, you know, tough at its worst of times. And we were sitting together and we were really, like, speaking words of affirmation into our potential, into our future. And we were like, we're going to make some really good songs. And next year, Beyonce's going to, or Rihanna or someone is going to reach out and want it. And then it happened. So it's just, it comes around, you know.
I really think, actually, that when you put it out there, at the risk of sounding like Noel Edmonds, it does come back to you. It does, doesn't it?
I really agree. That's why you have to... I've always walked with the attitude, even when everyone's like, what, you're being ridiculous. I'm like, I am going to win eventually. You know, it's just like the more times your name is in a draw, the more likely you are to get picked out. So you just got to keep writing your name on those pieces of paper and just shoving them in, you know?
But it also helps if you have got the ability to write a top line, hooky as you like, can't deny it on the radio, single.
Yeah.
And you have been vomiting them out lately. I mean, literally. There is no stopping you, woman. You're incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so lovely to hear.
So you called that moment a pinch me moment, and I wanted to see if we could dive into some of your other pinch me moments, because your CV so far in your, you know, couple of decades on this planet is mind-blowingly brilliant. And I love how you've made those moments count and you've used them as building blocks. So talk me through some of your other seminal wow moments.
Oh, okay. Another pinch me moment is David Guetta, who is now one of my best friends, is one of the absolute most amazing human beings on the planet. I'm really good at doing his impression now.
Go on, I want to hear it.
He's like, Ray, how you doing? I have found a new sound. I have it, a new sound, and you need to hear this new beat, this new idea. So he's like always on fire about something new. Like, he's always onto the next. He's moving 10 million miles an hour, and he is absolutely brilliant. But we actually worked so well together that we hosted a writing camp in his house in Ibiza last year. And we were going to do it this year, but obviously COVID. But we flew out some of the most incredible writers. I got to choose the writers. He chose the producers. And then we would make music and go and perform it that night.
Wow.
To like 70,000 people on a private jet somewhere like a few hours away. So it's just like you're now there seeing music reacting instantly, opposed to what I'm normally doing is write a song and you wait months, if most of the time years, before you get to see that instant reaction. Yeah. You know, so yeah,
that's
a beautiful, crazy,
that is a beautiful experience to be able to accelerate that moment. So you're in Ibiza with David Guetta, who's like Don of the Island, you know, he headlines everything.
Oh yeah.
And I know how that kind of works. So they base themselves in Ibiza for the summer, but then they jet out all over the place to do other gigs because they headline one night a week on the island.
Exactly.
So I know he's got an insane villa there, hasn't he?
Oh, it's so amazing.
It's a crib.
Do you know what? He was in Ibiza this year, actually, just gone. He was like, Ray, you thought the old house was good? He's like, I'm in some new house. It's like James Bond, like, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, oh, my gosh. This guy's living his best life. He's just, the house was so beautiful.
So you get to handpick the best writers that you want to work alongside. He brought a load of producers to the table as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
So then what, you'd kind of cram in and write and produce and then jump on a private jet, fly somewhere else to some insane gig where you're headlining to, and then just perform it that night.
It sounds so nice, doesn't it? Even better, he had a chef. So we wake up, he's like, breakfast is at 1. Breakfast is at 1 p.m.
Yeah, but you're working some late hours.
Yeah, we are. We wake up, everyone would get around the table, his chef would cook us all breakfast, and then we break out into different groups. And we just create music. And I was making it by the pool outside under an umbrella, like cocktail in my hand. Oh, sun on my skin. Babe, we had the best time. It was really great. We're going to do it again.
I don't know how you can better that moment.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Next up is Ella Henderson, one of the best voices to emerge from The X Factor, and her career has skyrocketed. She spoke to me about how often the toughest of times can actually become the very best of times for songwriters.
I knew that I wanted to write songs for artists, and I loved, like, my icons are like Carole King, Ella Fitzgerald, Aretha Franklin, like proper empowering women that sit behind a piano, can sing the song, stand at the mic and tell you what it's about, and it's from a real life experience. So I heard that there was a new rule on the show that year, and I wanted to audition because I really wanted to see if there was a producer or an agent anywhere behind the scenes that could kind of just give me a leg up or an intro to someone in the industry and help me or give me feedback.
Because when you are living in Grimsby, you know, and access to any kind of label is, well, how do you even do that?
Yeah.
You know, Gary Barlow sat here on this stage a couple of weeks back talking about exactly that. And he's like, he used to travel down from Cheshire with his you know, cassettes of his original, like he had a million love songs on this cassette that he'd written at the age of 15. And he would sit in record company foyers hoping that somebody from A&R would pass and he could at least put it in their hand and sort of beg them to play it, really. Because otherwise, how else, unless you know people, how do you get even...
Yeah, you've got to kind of like try and create them opportunities for yourself.
So The X Factor was a brilliant fast track for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought it was very astute, actually, of the show to introduce a songwriting element, because you'd started to see some, certainly the moment they did that, James Arthur was in your year, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
And another great artist, right? Artists, not
not kind of competition.
It did feel like a special year that year. You had like James and myself, and we write even Rylan from that year. Like he is like been a lifelong friend and like my agony aunt throughout my whole career. So, and we've been there for each other through thick and thin. And I think it just did feel like a special year. And also I think nobody quite understands what it's like to be a part of that unless you were one of those contestants. Mm.
And in recent years, you know, the show waned in popularity, but when you guys were on it, and I know because I used to host the X Factor, it's intense.
It is,
you know.
We didn't have social media though.
Yeah, it
was,
you didn't.
We had it, but it was like
low level.
Very low level. When
Twitter.
When I look, yeah, like, you know, like getting a tweet like you just mentioned about Adele, like that's, if you got a tweet from somebody, that would like, whereas now it's like, you know, you get tags, comments, stories, yeah.
and
you can slide in the DMs of someone, yeah. Like, and if they don't follow you, like that didn't exist then. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was kind of like the beginning of like this new age and stuff. But I feel like that was like the last year where it felt a little bit more, I don't know, like you couldn't, there wasn't, you couldn't really see the negative parts.
The trolling.
Yeah, the trolling side of it all.
Although I felt Rylan got some of that because he became sort of probably one of the first iterations of a meme,
yeah.
With the crying with Nicole and then the papers, you know, which still had to, you know, a lot of clout then. I mean, they still do now, but amplified that. And then,
yeah.
For me, I'd been around the first time around with things like Pop Stars with Darius, and I felt like he was being made a bit of a, turned into a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
And actually,
oh gosh,
he really is having the last laugh now.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think Rylan's done better off than me and James put together, so I'm buzzing for him. So he's had an incredible riding career and stuff. So,
so really important friendships came out of that decade,
yeah.
Then.
No, absolutely. And I think coming away from it as well, I think what that show did give me was like this real kind of sense of, I almost treat it like this is like a boot camp of what's to come, because there were parts of it that were really difficult, like being all of a sudden like writing songs in my bedroom or writing songs at school, and only my family and friends kind of known about it. So all of a sudden like doing it on TV, cameras, magazine shoots. Like I think I ended up being like the only girl left halfway through that competition. So I was constantly the one that was flung forward to do anything that was, you know, oh, this makeup thing wants to do this with you. And I had to do the whole lot. I had kind of no say in it, but I did enjoy it because I think there had to be a part of me that did, because I am the type of person where if I really hated something, you would know and I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Like, and my dad's always said that about me. He calls me the Dominator. Like there's just this part of me where it's like, no, I'm not doing it.
It's not really the cutest family nickname I've ever heard.
No, it's not. That and frog face, because I've got a massive mouth and I grew into my mouth as a kid.
I grew into my mouth.
My mum and dad say it's why I can sing. So I always had this huge mouth.
This
big gob
teeth.
On me. No, I know, exactly. And I've had to grow into it.
In talking about those kind of key moments, Adele must have been one of them.
Yeah, for sure. Adele performing on The Ellen Show. I think like one of the most special moments to me was probably when I would land in a new country that I'd never been to before, and there would be like some fans at the airport, which I found like crazy and bizarre, and getting into a cab, putting the radio on and hearing my song played there for the first time, that would always be like the most surreal thing. So I'd just be like, what, how, like I've never heard of this city yet they already know about me. Like it was just very bizarre to me, and something that I just like, I never really got used to and still would never get used to. And just, you never really take them moments for granted, because it is pinch me moments. It's like what you always dream of, and it was always happening to me like a lot sooner than I ever anticipated, you know,
almost before you were ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, my goal, like you said about Gary being with the cassette tapes begging for a record deal, like in my head I was like, I want to get a record deal like by my mid-20s. So by now, I'm 26 now, I was like, by the time I'm 25, that's the goal. But 10 years earlier than that is when I signed Across the Dotted Line. So it's actually really surreal that, you know, I almost feel like these last 10 years for me have been like the run up to what's to maybe come now.
What I love is the fact that you are you're looked after by one of the best managers in the business, a gentleman called Mark. I've known Mark for many years.
Yeah.
And I've worked with Mark for many years. He and his wife have managed, you know, incredible acts. I met them when they were putting the Sugar Babes on their feet. Mark has always had a view that you were a long-term artist. It wasn't about making the first 3 years really work for you after X Factor. It was always a much longer-term vision, because he knows that the songwriting is there as well as this phenomenal voice. You've always had that support, which I think is really important. And also when you went to Mark, when things started to get difficult, he was the first person to say, down tools.
Yeah.
Chill.
No, he was. And also Mark was the first person that I think I ever sat down with and listened to me, to what I actually, you know, what I wanted to achieve, and he believed me. And having belief in this game is like a huge thing as well, because you can believe in yourself so much, but you need the people that are going to jump in the car with you, and you're going to drive it, and they're going to come along on the ride with you. But
and back you.
Yeah,
when you make 100%. Calls that are unpopular with the label, or you know, gosh, I'm not going to wear that, and I'm not going to sing that, and I'm not going to say
he's
that.
He's like my. He. Sometimes we are each other's worst enemy, but for the best reasons. And then, but like the most of the time, and that's only because like I'm being really stubborn about something and he's trying to like help shape and change my career. But most of the time I just call him, he's like my biggest protector. Like he won't do anything that, you know, he's like my second dad now. Like we've known each other for 10 years.
I used to say to your mum, don't worry, she's got Mark.
No,
because
I know.
Your mum would flap.
Great.
And I was like, honestly.
And Mark is, to this day, I sat in a room with Mark 10 years ago, and before I ever like took him on as my manager, he said, what do you want to achieve? Like, what's your biggest, like, where's the end goal with you? And I was like, well, I don't know where the end goal is, but I know that it involves getting a Grammy one day. Like that's happening, and it's got to happen.
You said that at 16.
Yeah. And I can remember like, Mark was like, all right, we're doing it. So me and Mark still have that goal now. Like, yes, it's been 10 years on, but you hear of artists doing 20, 30 years till they get to that moment where you stood up on that stage winning a Grammy. And that still is my goal and my ambition and my drive. Like, although I've had a lot of success from a young age, like having the number one and the album and a lot of success here in the UK at a young age, like now I'm kind of like, okay, those are stepping stones, and I'm so grateful for like the achievements I've had. And I sit here and say that now because a few years ago I thought I was a failure. So it's really interesting, like even when I hear myself saying it, it's taken me a while to get to a place to even say that, because I've sat with therapists and all sorts to be proud of it, because I even my mum like is like, you should be proud, like, but
you should, Ella. And you know what? For all the extraordinary experiences, like your extraordinary success, it's still very lonely, because it's not something you can sit down with your mates and discuss because they haven't experienced that. So it makes total sense to then sometimes for that to just come on top and for you to break. And you know, there's a beautiful thing in Japanese culture where, you know, like if a vase breaks, for example, they repair it with gold leaf so you can see where the cracks are. And I think for a songwriter, that's probably the greatest analogy, is that actually you for having fallen on the floor and gone, I can't cope at the moment, that will come back in your music. And Carole King and Ella Fitzgerald, pain underpinned so much of what they wrote about. And you hadn't had any as a 16-year-old.
No, I hadn't. I think like life hadn't hit me
yet. That I'm saying it's great that you had a really difficult time with your mental health, but you know what I'm saying.
No, for sure.
Like, and Adele's not known for her upbeat, cheery chit-chat, is she?
No.
In her songs, you know? Finally, it's Tom Grennan. We heard from him around the launch of his new album a couple of months ago, but originally he first came on the show with presenter Vic Hope back in August 2020. He told me all about how he'd spent the first year of university basically locked in his bedroom honing his craft, and revealed some of the songs that he wished he'd written. No spoilers, but there is a big unexpected one in there. Was that one of those defining moments in your life when you went suddenly, oh my God, I can sing. Now what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, I think so. I think like when I did that, and then that's where I kind of like making the decision whether to go to America or not. So it was like when I did that, and then when my friends kind of were like, do you want to just join a band? Do you want to get into this band that we're doing? I was like, nah, I'm not doing that at all. Like I had that moment at the party, but I'm not drunk anymore, so I'm not doing that. And then I did it, and then we did it in front of like they did it for like an A-level performance piece, and I helped them do that. And then it wasn't until I had that audience participation and I was like, and that interaction with like a school audience, I was like, I've got the bug now. And that's when I decided I'm not going to go to uni in America. I'm going to try music. And then all the boys who were in the band were like, we're going to go to uni and do like maths. And I was like, what? Well, what do you mean you're going to do like science and maths and that? I'm like, no way. So then that's when I moved to London, and then I had to go. The only way to get to London was to go to university. So I went to uni and studied acting because that's the only A level I got. And that's when I picked up a guitar, and that's when I started writing. I kind of like hibernated for a year at uni. I didn't really do the freshers stuff, and I had a few nights, but I didn't really focus it all on drinking and all that kind of stuff. I was in my room practicing how to play guitar, and that's when I started writing. And then in my second year, I went out and got loads of gigs, like knocked on doors trying to get like open mic nights, or can I support this band, or can I play in this pub for whatever. And then it was there. I did that for a year, and then in my third year, luckily enough, a record label was in there and in a pub, and I got kind of signed from there. Really, it was mad.
What's the one song you wish you'd written, and why?
I've got two. I would have loved to have written Back to Back from Anyone Else.
Yeah.
And I'm Still Standing by Elton John. Yeah.
Really? They're so different. Why? Where
those two? My favourite songs. I would love to have written the Amy tune, because to have been able to write like Amy and make like the sadness in the lyrics and the like the hurt and the pain in the lyrics, but to create something that translates in such a different, like, makes me feel like happy and like makes me feel like I can do whatever I want to do.
There's some beautiful lyrics in there. I mean, I'm looking at them now. He left no time to regret, kept his dick wet. I quite like that. With his same old safe bet, me and my head high and my tears dry. Yeah. Get on without my guy. And it says, you know, we only said goodbye with words, and then I died 100 times. You go back to her, and I go back to us. It is. It's such a tragic love song. It's such a
tragic love song, but it makes me feel like it doesn't. For me, it doesn't make me feel like sad. It makes me feel like, do you know what I mean?
But when you read the lyrics of it, it's heartbreakingly awful. Romance in it. It's about a woman who's in love with somebody that clearly just thinks of her as a bit on the side.
I think it's with the music as well. Like, that's what makes me feel like, yes. It's like there's brass in it. There's the drum beat to it. It's an uplifting song for me. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I listen to the lyrics, of course, but the way she's made a tragic song become something so bright and so, like, for me anyway, it's just mad.
And of course, it's got the magic hand of Mark Ronson all over it as well.
Well, that's what I mean, of course.
You'd never hear that if you listened to the rest of his, until his work with Amy came along. It was so unlike anything else he'd done. I mean, and to this day, it's quite unlike anything else he's done since.
I would love to work with.
Yeah. Let's put it out there, Tom. Let's put it out there. You never know who's listening.
Yeah, put it out into the atmosphere now. So, Mark Ronson, if you're listening, I'm available.
Open, willing, and able.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Something from the Cellar. If you want to listen to these episodes in full, scroll back through our back catalogue or simply search for the guest name in your search bar. This week, we featured Ray, Ella Henderson, and Tom Grennan with Vic Hope. So I hope that kept you entertained until we're back on Friday, when I'll be here with a brand new guest. See you then.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.